Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 6 through 9. God is great and greatly to be praised. He is worthy of all that we can give him and more. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It's because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. And great is God's faithfulness. We are here today because God is faithful. He has a word for us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. The Apostle Peter writes, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." Verse 8, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him." Glory. "And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." Here we go. "The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." This is the word of the Lord. God, we thank you for the privilege it is for us to come together in your name in this public space. Lift up our hands and express to you our appreciation for all that you are to us and all that you have done for us. We thank you for the privilege it is to open up your word this morning, to read what is written there and have you speak to us through your word that never changes, that stands forever. Now, God, our request in this moment is that you will open up our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us. God, I pray that you would destroy every hindrance that will come to hinder your word. We come against every thought that will fight against your word. Hallelujah. Or cause us to wrestle as to whether or not we should receive your word. We bind every imagination that acknowledges itself against the knowledge of Christ. And we say, revelation of the Holy Spirit, reveal yourself in this place today. Speak to us. Hallelujah. We want to hear from you, that we'll know what it is you would have us to know. Help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have a favorite scripture? Would you just raise your hand? You have a scripture that you go to when times are tough, when you feel like giving up, when you're struggling. There's this go-to scriptures. I have a couple of go-to scriptures, scriptures that I go to when I'm being challenged and I want confirmation that God is with me. One of those scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I like this scripture because it tells me that for the believer, victory is guaranteed. He says he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. There is a preacher from New York called Reverend Ike. Anybody know Reverend Ike? Controversial preacher, but you know, he said something. He used to say this phrase all the time, and I agree with it, but he used to say, "You cannot lose with the stuff I use." Now, I don't know what stuff he was talking about, but I understand that you cannot lose. If you take what God says in his word and you apply it to your life, you cannot lose, because victory is guaranteed for the believer. A few years ago, the banking system in this country had hit a crisis. And our government looked at the situation and decided to bail the banks out because they were too big to fail. I wish Sally Mae would know that I'm too big to fail and bail me out. Anyway, but we decided that if the banks fail, that it would impact the entire economy. The entire economy would crash. All of us would be impacted by it. Not just us here in America, but the entire economy of the world would be impacted by this. So the government says, we're going to guarantee that the banks get through this crisis. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 tells me that God is too big to fail. That if God fails, the whole universe goes into chaos. And it is that God who has promised me that I will always have the victory. He guarantees that I will get through my crisis. Can I tell you that God is too big to fail you? He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than your marital problems, financial problems, physical problems. You don't have something that's too big for God. He is too big to come across something that he don't know how to handle. He says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. It's a guarantee that we have present victory, but also future victory. That verse tells us that we are victorious now, that whatever we are dealing with right now, we're not waiting for the victory. We already have the victory. We're not hoping for the victory. We're not praying for the victory. No, he always causes us to triumph. In other words, the fight is fixed. It's already been determined that we are going to win in our present situations. But greater than that, he guarantees a future victory. There's a greater victory that is coming. So our victory is now, but not yet. There's a victory that we experience now, but there is a victory that we have yet to experience. It is our ultimate victory. It is the victory that defeats our adversary forever, where we never have to deal with these things anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to deal with some of these things anymore. Come on, somebody. There's a future victory where our adversary will be silenced forever, where he won't be able to threaten us anymore. He won't be able to slow us down or discourage us. That our adversary will be defeated forever, because he always causes us to triumph. But here is the thing that I realize. In order to get to our future victory, to get from our present victory to our future victory, it requires faith. Faith is the vehicle that transports us from here to there. You won't receive your victory without faith. You can't get to there without faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So our faith doesn't require us to see anything. We go by faith. But just like any other vehicle, it needs to be tested before you use it. You don't get into a car that hasn't been tested. You don't get into a boat that hasn't been tested. You don't get into an airplane that hasn't been tested. And just like all these vehicles, our faith has to be tested so that it takes us where we need to go. And how is that done? That is done through tests and trials. I won't get a whole lot of amens this morning, but I have to tell you that God is up to something in our life, and he uses our tests and trials to perform his will in our life. Everyone who has faith must understand that your faith will be tested. And here's the thing. You don't have to sign up for your test. Just keep on living. Your test will show up. Well, yes, it will. You can't reschedule your test. You can't say, you know what? Tuesday don't work for me. I got a lot going on Tuesday. Can't have a migraine on Tuesday. Can't have the kids messing up on Tuesday. Now, I need to reschedule my test for Friday. Friday is a good day for a test. Nope. You just wake up on Tuesday morning, right around noon, knock, knock. Here comes your testing time. Can't sign up for it. Can't reschedule it, and you can't decline it. You can't say, no, I'm not going through that. Nope, I'm not getting laid off my job. My child is not getting sick. Nope, I'm not having those type of problems. Control, Alt, Delete, give me another one. Huh? Wouldn't that be great, Kathleen, if you could just say, nah, not that one. Anybody ever been through something, and before you went through it, you said, God, I can deal with anything but that. And here that comes. Hello, I'm here for you. Huh? You can't push it away and say, no, 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 no. That's the one thing I said I'm not going to deal with in my life. No, the test shows up when it shows up. And there's nothing you can do about it. In the context of this scripture, 1 Peter, the early church, faith is being tested greatly. And I just want to say that their faith is being tested in ways that you and I cannot imagine. They will look at the things we complain about and be insulted and be disappointed that we are upset about the things that we get upset about. Can I tell the truth in the house this morning? Their test is things that you and I could not imagine. They lost income, they lost homes, they lost family relationships, and they lost their lives. Why? Because they refused to deny their faith in Jesus Christ. See, their faith was being tested. Do you believe him enough to die for him? We'll let you go. Just deny him all this great faith you sing about on Sunday morning. Here comes the firing squad. Do you still believe him? The faith was tested in ways we can't imagine. So the Apostle Peter writes this letter to encourage them to not give up on their faith. Don't quit. Because there is a victory coming for them. And he shares some things with them about how to go through the tests and trials that they are going through. And they're the same things that we need to know. And I want to share those things with you today, and we'll be out of your way. Verse number 6, here's what he says to them. He says, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Here it is. They're being persecuted. Their life is being threatened. And he is saying to them, here is how you handle your trial. Be joyful. Be glad. When you go through these many trials, which are for a little while, be glad. The Apostle James put it this way. James says, count it all joy when you go through these trials. Peter says, be glad. James says, count it all joy. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Peter says, be glad. James says, count it joy. Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We're not done. Because then Paul sums it up and he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do you handle your trial? Be glad. Count it joy. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And in everything, he said, give thanks. Lord, have mercy. He says, here's how you handle your trial. Oh, man. I told you I wasn't going to get much amens this morning. He said, listen, when you go through your trials, you have options. You can sit around. You can be depressed. You can feel sorry for yourself. And you can complain, or you can decide that I'm going to rejoice and be glad. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to count it all joy. Yes, you can be sad if you want to, or you can choose to let your faith kick in and say, God, you have promised me joy and peace, and I receive this joy and peace right here, right now in my situation. Listen, you can decide. I'm trying to help somebody today. You can be in a depressing situation and not be depressed. You can be in a sad situation and not be sad. You can be in a pitiful situation and not be pitiful. What good is the Holy Ghost if it only gives you joy when things are going well? What good is it? Lord, help me. I'm trying to help you. What good is it to serve God if he can only make you feel good by allowing good to happen to you? Oh, no, our testimony is greater than that. Our testimony is that in trouble, he makes us glad. Yeah. Oh, yes. I get to choose. I found out I get to choose. I get to get up in the morning and say the peace of God flows through me. The joy of God flows through me. The power of God flows through me. Hallelujah. That I'm not going to allow my circumstances determine my emotional or my mental state. No, I have the power of the Holy Ghost to count it all joy. And here's what I discovered, that if you say it out of your mouth, your body will respond. I'm telling you what I know for sure. Y'all know I have a degree in biology, so I know a little bit about biological systems. Here is what I know. If you say out of your mouth, that's why the Bible always talks about speaking things out of your mouth. If you say things out of your mouth, if you say peace and joy belongs to me, your brain releases hormones in your body. They're called the feel-good hormones. If you say I'm happy, your body will go into storage, get those happy hormones, and release those happy hormones in your body. Listen, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that if we speak it, our body will respond. And you don't have to be a theologian to know that. You go ask a medical doctor, you ask somebody who's done any research, they will tell you that people who have positive attitudes, they heal faster, they have better emotional and mental health. God has given us the secret that I can be in trouble and not be troubled. Listen, I'm gonna move on, but if the only thing your Holy Ghost does is make you speak in tongues, you need to come back to the altar and get some more. Your Holy Ghost isn't just for speaking in tongues and laying on hands. No, your Holy Ghost gives you the power to have joy and peace in the midst of desperate situations. He says, I know your life is being threatened, but be glad. Because joy is coming. He said, look, he says, God has wonderful joy waiting for you. So he said, listen, you're not happy because of your trial. You're happy because after the trial is joy. Lord have mercy. Remember, Jesus, the Bible says of Jesus that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. Why? Because he saw joy ahead of him. And come on, for the believer, I endure what I go through because I know this isn't all I get. There's joy ahead of me. He said it's a wonderful joy. Yeah. He says, listen, for a little while, you're going to go through some trials. It's going to happen. So let me just bust up a lie that the devil tells us all the time. Going through troubles is not an indication of sin or abandonment. Because you say you must have did something wrong or God has left you. No, the Bible says that we are going to endure many trials for a little while. It's going to be a little while. Verse 7, Peter gives the purpose of the trials that we go through. Can I tell you that God doesn't allow us to go through things just for the sake of going through them? He doesn't waste our tears. He doesn't waste our pain. He takes no pleasure in seeing us suffer and struggle and go through. No, he has a purpose for what he allows to take place in our life. And here's what he says in verse number 7. He says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. Oftentimes, people will ask me, Pastor, why do believers go through so many things? And it seems like we go through more things than other people. It seems like we can't catch a break. And that's why the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In other words, don't look at the prosperity of the wicked and think that for some reason they are doing better off than you and that their plight is better than yours. It's a facade because their joy is temporary. Our suffering is temporary. Our joy is forever. And their suffering will be forever. And as quiet as it's kept, they're not going through more stuff than we're going through. No, they're not. No. The reason we're going through is different. But everybody is going through something, whether you're a believer or not. Anybody know any believer, unbeliever, that's not having trouble? Raise your hand. No. All of us, all of humanity is in trouble. Why? Because trouble oftentimes is the only thing that will cause people to turn to God. Well, that's, listen, read the text. You don't believe me? Look at what the text says. He says there are two things that our trials do. Test our faith and purify our faith. Okay, here we go. It tests our faith. When faith is tested, it reveals how pure our faith is. It reveals how real our faith is. When your faith is tested, it uncovers if there's any impurities in that faith. For example, if you're going through a trial will help you to know whether you serve God because of who he is or because of what he does. Yeah, a trial will teach you that. You'll find out real quick whether or not you're serving God because of all the good things he does for you, or you serve him because you love him. A trial will help you to determine whether you serve him because you were raised in church. You don't know what else to do on a Sunday morning, so you just come to church because you've been coming to church since you were 12 years old. But a trial will come along and find out whether you're doing it out of tradition or because you have a real relationship with him. Because here is what I have found, that sometimes the loudest people in church who make the biggest noise about who God is and what he's done and how they will serve him for the rest of their life, as soon as a trouble comes, they get quiet and absent. The test is, do you serve him for real or do you serve him because of what he does for you? Wow. I know we don't want to admit it, but sometimes a trial has to come along to determine whether or not our faith is biblical or mystical and based on humanism. A trial has to come whether or not your faith is based upon the principles of Scripture or something that you heard in a song or something that you read somewhere. Our faith has to be tested to see if it's based upon the Word of God. Trials reveal the truth about our faith. Trials reveal your true feelings, your true attitudes, your true beliefs. You can't tell what a person believes by how they are when things are well. The only way you can test what someone believes is how they are when they're facing a trial. The measure of your faith is not how you are on the mountaintop. Anybody can praise God on the mountaintop. Anybody can declare the goodness of God on the mountaintop. The test of your faith is, who are you when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Who are you then? Yeah, so he says it tests your faith, but not only does it test your faith, it purifies your faith. Here is the good thing, that when it reveals that we have impurities in our faith, then he removes those impurities out of our faith, understanding that God is not testing us to see how far we can go. No, he is testing us to purify us, to make us better than what we are right now. God wants us better. Trials remove what is not real about your faith. In other words, it gets rid of the impurities that are in your faith. Can I tell you? Nothing humbles the arrogant like a good old-fashioned trial. Nothing. Nothing, huh? I know a lot of friends that have issues with pride. Maybe that's why we're friends. But I've seen some transition in their life after they've hit certain trials. It seems like the things that they used to be proud about, they don't talk about those things anymore. There's been a shift. What happened? A trial. They realized that they were not as smart as they thought they were. They realized they weren't as strong as they thought they were. You know what else? Nothing else can cause a self-righteous person to repent like a good old-fashioned trial. All those folks say, oh, I would never do that. How could she do that? Then you wake up one day and you find yourself in the same situation they were in. That's why the Bible says when one of us falls into sin, he says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted and fall. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. You know what? That's why I don't worry about the arrogant. Because sooner or later, the arrogant will run into a trial and that will humble them. That's why I don't worry about the self-righteous, because sooner or later something's going to sneak up in their life, grab a hold of them, and they are going to want forgiveness and grace and mercy that they refuse to offer to others. It is through trials that God removes hidden sin, secret agenda, and unbiblical beliefs. I want us to know here that what we go through is intended by God to get us in line with the scriptures, to be what God has called us to be. Look at verse number 8 and 9. We're almost done here. Verses 8 and 9 speaks to the uniqueness of our faith and the reward we receive for trusting him. Verse number 8 says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Listen to what he's saying here. He is speaking to that early generation of believers who weren't there to put their hands and their eyes on Christ. He's speaking to that first generation of believers who love him although they've never seen him, who trust him although they've never seen him. And he says there is a special reward for the believer who loves and trusts even though they have not seen. For the believer, for the real child of God, seeing is not believing. Not for the real child of God. For the real child of God, faith comes by hearing. Oh, have mercy. Hearing what? The word of God. He said, you're in a special class, Fellowship Church of 2019. You're in a special class where you don't have to see him to believe him. All you have to do is hear him, and you love him, and you trust him. Hallelujah. Your evidence of his reality is what you have heard in his word. So the more you hear, the stronger your faith becomes. And the Bible says that you are now placed in a special category, and the reward for your trusting him is the salvation of your souls. He says, for those who love me and they haven't seen me, who trust me and they haven't seen me, I have a great reward for them. It is the salvation of their souls. It is this eternal victory that nothing on earth can stop from happening. I got something special for those who endure their trials with love and trust. And he says, here it is. Here it is. It's the salvation of your souls. I know it's 2019 and we want prosperity and live your best life now, and I want a little bit of all of that. But the Bible says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What good is it to have all of these things and not have soul salvation? He says, listen, I know you're losing money, you're losing houses, and you're even losing family members. You're watching them die. But he says, there's a joy coming, and it is salvation for your soul. I'm almost through here. But your soul, hear me, your soul is the part of you that will never die. Hear me. Everybody has a soul. Come on. Everybody is going to be alive somewhere forever. Come on, somebody. Everybody has an soul, an eternal part of them. And so what he is promising the believer is an eternal promise. A promise, Lord, I'm making myself happy. A promise that has no expiration date. It is a promise that no matter how bad it gets down here, the promise is still good. Lord, have mercy. The promise is so great. The guarantee of victory is so great that even if the worst thing that could happen to you, i.e. you are killed for your faith, it is the best thing that can happen to you. Why? Because Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Even if they kill us for our faith, we still win. The promise is still good. Lord, have mercy. If I live with my suffering here, the promise is still good. If I lose all I have here, the promise is still good. If I die in my prime, the promise is still good. That's what you get for trusting him. You get a promise that has no expiration date. Let me explain something here. This salvation speaks to our destiny. There was a time where people were saying, oh, you got to find out what your destiny is. What your purpose is. Discover your destiny. Here's six ways to discover your destiny. Let me help you. Save you some money where you don't have to ever buy a book about discovering your destiny after this. The word destiny means destination. Okay? So, destiny is where you end up. What you do down here is your purpose, not your destiny. No. What you do down here is what you do on your way to your destiny, which is your final destination. So your purpose is to work while it's day, for no man can work. Your purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your purpose is to be a light in this world. Your purpose is to sacrifice for the name of Christ. But your destiny, where you end up, where do you end up? After you go through your trials, where do you end up? After you suffer and die, what is your destiny? Where do you end up? The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. That we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It said that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air, and there shall we forever be with the Lord. My destiny is to spend eternity with Christ. That's my destiny. That's where I'm going to end up. Oh, have mercy. You know why? You know why we can go through these trials? Because this is not where we're going to end up. You know why we can face the disappointment and the pain? Because this is not where we end up. This is not all we get. There's joy ahead of us. We get to spend eternity with Christ. These things that we're going through down here, they're just things we're going through on our way. Lord have mercy. They can't stop us. They can't block us. It's just things we go through. Let me say this. Christ is our reward. Yeah. Heaven is wonderful, but heaven is not our reward. Christ is our reward. You don't believe me. I feel the doubters in the room. Paul said in Philippians, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them dung that I may win Christ. Hear what I'm saying. He didn't say that I may win heaven. He said that I may win Christ. Wherever Christ is heaven. If Christ is not there, it's not heaven. And the problem, I didn't want to say this, but the problem, the reason many of us are having difficulty is because we have forgotten or we don't know that Christ is the prize. The goal is Christ. He said, I went through all this so that I may comprehend or grab a hold of the thing that has grabbed a hold of me. He says, I count everything lost because I want to win Christ. My prize is knowing Christ. Spending eternity with Christ is the prize. The adversary wants us to think being able to prophesy is the prize. The adversary wants us to think that laying hands on the sick and having them recover is the prize. The adversary wants us to think that building big churches and having wonderful ministries is the prize. Do you know this? You can do all of that and not have Christ. The Bible says many will come to me in that day saying, did not we do this, that, and the other in your name? And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Not I don't know you. He said, I never knew you. Lord have mercy. Christ is the prize. I will give all of that up just to know Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know why we go through trials? Because when we start off in this thing, Christ isn't our prize. When we start off this thing, finding a mate is our prize. We start off this thing, getting out of bad relationship is our prize. We start off in this thing, hanging around nice people is the prize. But after a while, none of those things matter. After a while, you realize that what I really need is Christ. The believer who has matured in their faith is the believer who says, all I want is Christ. That's why Paul said, you know, that's all I preach, Christ. And him crucified and risen again. Y'all can preach your doctrine. Y'all can preach your philosophy. I'm going to preach Christ. Stand to your feet, would you? Christ is the prize. We have no control. And I know I got to preach tonight. I didn't plan on doing all this today, but we have no control over our trials. Yeah. You can't choose how many trials you get. You can't say, okay, God, I've met my quota of trials. It is finished. We're done. You can't choose how many you get. You can't choose what type of trial you get. Say, Lord, I'll take this category, but I reject this other category. Have no control over that. And you have no control over how long your trial will last. Haven't you ever been in something? You say, God, isn't it about time that you bring this to a close? How long? Oh, I feel that. How long in the atmosphere? God, I've been dealing with this for the past 3 years. How long is this trial going to last? You know what the Lord told me? I asked him that not too long ago. He said it's going to last until it has accomplished the assignment that I gave it. Oh, Lord. Okay, Lord. Well, is there anything I can do? Come on, Kathleen. I just want to know. Is there something I can do to speed it up? Give me the final today. Let's not wait the 13th. If I pass the final today, can this trial be over? Give me some cliff notes. I don't want to read all the words. Just give me the shortened version. He says, no. I have an appointed time for everything you go through. And here's what I know. You'll be glad. You probably won't believe this today, but one day you'll believe this. You'll think back on what I'm about to say, and you'll say, there's one time Pastor Tim was right. I promise you, the day is coming where you will thank God that he didn't rush you through that trial. I'm not talking about what I'm hoping. I'm talking about what I've experienced. The day will come where you thank him that he gave you that type of trial. The day will come that you'll thank him that when you said it was too much, he said, nah, I got some more for you. It's not too much. The worst thing you can do in the middle of a trial is quit and give up. Because guess what? You're going to have to keep going through it until the assignment is done. Here's what I know, and it's with anything. Sometimes we stop when it gets too painful. But when it's painful, that's the time to push through it. Because that's when it's really kicking in to do what it's accomplished to do. I read an article this week. Say this in my closing. Read an article this week. It said three things not to do when you're going through a trial. Three things not to do. First thing he said not to do is, said, don't stop looking at God. Yeah. Yeah. Keep on praying. Keep on reading the word. Keep on looking at him. Because what do? We look at the trial. And the more we look at the trial, the bigger the trial looks to us, and the smaller God looks to us. It says, don't stop looking at God. Don't look at your trial. Look at God. Then it said, second thing, and this is very important, don't disconnect from other believers. Because that's the second thing we do. When things happen to us, what's the first thing we do? Stop coming to church. Isolate ourselves. And then folks from the church calling you, texting you, and you're not calling back. you're not texting back. You're disconnected from other believers. You know what that does? That gives the adversary more time to talk to you. See, don't nobody love you. Don't nobody care about you. You in this thing all by yourself. The only reason they're reaching out to you is because the numbers are down. They don't really care about you. The devil is a liar. Don't disconnect from other believers. We get strength from each other. Then the third thing he says, don't give up hope. See, no matter how bad it is, keep on expecting God to deliver you. Keep on expecting God to answer you. Even if you don't see how, keep on expecting. We're going to pray. Battle is in your mind. The adversary attacks our mind. We've got to make up our mind today that we're not going to give up until we see Jesus. Until we stand before his presence, we're going to keep on believing, keep on trusting. Why? Because victory is ahead. I want to encourage you today, and we'll pray, and I'll let you go. Don't give up. Don't quit. You'll never experience the victory. And I heard Dana say it in the spirit, that sometimes we give up right at the point where victory is close. That if you would have held on just a little while longer, you would have experienced the victory. You didn't know that your next hit would be the last hit, and it would crack down the wall, and you would go through with victory. But you gave up to quit. I rebuke that giving up spirit in this house. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that we are not like those who turn back. No. But we endure our tests. We go through our trials because we know that there's joy ahead. I want to pray for you this morning. Let's look to the Lord. I don't know who this is for, but God says, I haven't forgotten my promise to you. You're here today because God wants you to know he has not forgotten. You don't see it, but trust him. You don't see it, but love him. Don't quit. I know it's painful. I know it's confusing. Does it make sense? But God says, I'm proving you. Oh, this is for somebody in this room right here. God says, I'm proving you because there are people around you who think that you're not real about your salvation. And they expect any day now you're going to give up because they're looking at your life. And they say, oh, she's been there before. She said that 3 years ago and she went back. And they're watching to see you give up. But God says, no, 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 no. I got something to show your adversary. Hallelujah. That you love me for real. Hallelujah. Yes, God. That you serve me for real. And just like Job, I can remove the hedge around you. And you'll say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're going to give a testimony to the adversary. No, our relationship with God is for real. Our faith is for real. And when we are tried in the fire, we will come out as pure gold. And you know what he said? He says, your faith is much more precious than gold. He said, the best example I can give you is how gold is tried. But don't minimize your faith to the quality of gold. No, your faith is much more precious than gold. Do you know this? That your faith moves God. Did y'all hear what I said? Your faith moves God. Your faith gets God attention. Nothing else moves God like faith. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters that are here today. God, I know and I trust that you have a purpose and plan for everything that we go through. Nothing that we experience is wasted in your plan for us. God, I pray today that as we are going through our tests and our trials, as our faith is going through the fire to test and purify, that we will have an attitude of joy. That our mindset, that we will choose joy, that we will reject worry and sadness and depression and weariness. And we will choose joy as we go through our trials and our situations. God, give us the mindset. Help us to experience you in ways that we've never experienced you before. God, change our minds today that we look at our situations differently. Hallelujah, God. And that we look beyond what we're going through and look towards the prize, which is Christ. Set our eyes on you, Jesus. Fix our eyes on you. Fix our attention on you, Jesus, that we see beyond what we go through. And God, we thank you for this eternal promise. Hallelujah. This promise that has no expiration date. This promise that no trouble can disqualify us from. This promise that no one can take from us. It is the promise that we will spend eternity with you. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. God, all we want is you. Oh, yes, God, purify us until all we want is you. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.